time of prayer. Father, we come to you now, and I want to say, Father, just thank you for today. Thank you for the worship, God, that we just got to partake in as we are worshiped you through our praises and our music, and we're getting ready to worship you through your text, through your word. Father, I ask a blessing over this, that you just, that you're with us as we open up your word and we are diving into it. God, I pray that you just speak in a mighty way, God. Take me out of the equation, Father. And I thank you, God, for who you are and for loving us. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. So guys, I want you to think about, we're going to be in Matthew chapter 7 here in just a moment, so you guys can go ahead and start flipping there. But as you're flipping there, and you have a moment, I want you to take a look at this picture, okay? You have no clue how hard it is to find a picture of a wolf in sheep's clothing. My goodness. I looked and looked and looked for one that would be fitting for what we're talking about today. In sheep's clothing. Yes, so we see here, we see the wolf is cleverly disguised here. He fits in. He looks like him. I'm sure he practiced on his, you know, baas and all that stuff, and is attempting to fit in as best they possibly can. But underneath it all, that wolf is still a ravishing beast, one that wants to kill and destroy all the sheep that are among him. This is the same thing that we see through false teachers. They may look like us. They may sound like us. They might have been around us enough to pick up on our terminology, but underneath it all, they are still ravishing people that will destroy you. So this, today, what we're going to be talking about is how to avoid the wolf in sheep's clothing. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 7. We're going to be in verses 15 through 16 to start us off with. So go ahead and join with me there. Beware of the false prophets who come to you as sheep's clothing, but inwardly are ravenous wolves. You will recognize them by their fruits. Are grapes gathered from thorn bushes? Are figs from thistles? So I want you again to imagine what we just looked at. The wolf that is in disguise, the one that is attempting to fit in with the other sheep that are amongst them. But we know what their dangerous intentions truly are. Now there's some evidence that we see in the Bible that talks about different false prophets. One that we really see quite a bit that Jesus had interaction with is the Pharisees and the Sadducees, of how they blinded their followers to look past what Jesus was talking about, and attempted to see him as a heretic. Jesus said that I am the Son of Man, the Son of God, the one that was foretold for to come and to lead people away from their sins, and they called him a liar and had him crucified for what he said. But we see that the crucifixion wasn't the ending that they thought it was going to be. If you look also, there's another example that we see, and we see this in Jeremiah chapter 5. Jeremiah chapter 5, verses 30 through 31, and it says, an appalling and horrible thing has happened in the land. The prophets prophesize falsely, and the priests rule at their direction. My people love to have it so, but what will you do when the end comes? We see that there is this false teaching that happens, and what typically happens is they start talking to people, and they start talking to what the people actually want. We see it all the time when you turn on TV. One of the big ones that we see is people say, hey, send me money and God will give it back to you 100 times fold, right? And people fall for it. because it's something that people really want. You know, most people want to have lots of money at their disposal and stuff like that. So they start tickling those people's ears and go, oh, it makes sense. You know, God doesn't want us to be poor or anything like that. And they start talking to these people and confusing these people for their own benefit. And we see it also in different churches in different ways. And another way that we see it is people saying that certain sins are okay. I'm going to be blatantly honest with you guys. You guys know me at this point. I try to live my life by what this book says. Am I perfect? No. I wish I was. But man, I'm still learning. I'm still getting it. I'm still figuring it out. But I know when a specific sin or sins are talked about, and oftentimes people just gloss over them like they're no big deal. Some churches do that. But when you look at what the text of God says, it says the exact opposite. There are false prophets all across this land. Matter of fact, this is how serious I take this. Every church that I've ever been involved with, okay, one of the things that I always look for is, there's a couple of things. The first thing is, do they have a church website? Well, if they have a church website, perfect. Let's see what they believe in. Because typically you'll get an idea of what this church is all about. And I'll read what they believe in. And if I believe in, like, oh yeah, same, okay, yeah, that's cool. That's when I typically would apply for a position. Not only that, I take it a whole nother step. Whenever my family and I, because I've talked about this, of how important it is for my family, because it's rare that I get an opportunity to where I have a Sunday completely off. Last Sunday was a weird thing, because you know, I don't usually get sick, but I was sick last week. And I always look for when we're going to a location, I start looking for a church just so I can go to church with my family. And I'll do the exact same thing. I'll go to the church website and I'll see what they believe in. If they don't believe in what I believe in, I ain't going there. Because I know how easy it is to fall for false prophets. Ones that tickle the ears and make you feel good about yourself or about different circumstances. One of the scariest things that really was an eye-opening experience to this is when I graduated from college. I went and got my degree in pastoral teaching at East Texas Baptist University, just an undergrad, so just a bachelor's degree. And I remember I was looking and talking to one of my buddies, and he said something that made me open my eyes super wide to this. He said, "We know enough now to be dangerous." And he thought by, oh, I know enough to be able to do this, that, and the other. But then on the other hand, I started thinking of, yeah, but we know enough also to be very dangerous the other way also. Because of what we could do, of how easy it is to fall for those false prophets. Let's go ahead and look at verses 17 through 20 of Matthew chapter 7. So every healthy tree bears good fruit, but the diseased tree bears bad fruit. A healthy tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a diseased tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruits is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus you will recognize them by their fruits. So how do you recognize, or how do you look for a false prophet? How do you go against... so sorry. Or how do you go against a false prophet? The first thing you look for is fruits of their character. Look for what they believe in. A great way to look for this is you start looking if the fruit reflects Christ, you know, Christ-likeness. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verses 22 through 23, and it gives you fruits of the Spirit. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. You start looking at these, and if the prophet starts not matching what we see here, they might very well be a false prophet or a false teacher of some sort. So you have to look at what they, how they conduct themselves, their characteristics. Are they attempting to become better at what they do, or are they content with leading people astray? You also see the fruit of their teaching. We see this again in verse 20. It says, thus you will recognize them by their fruits. Are they helping people come closer to Christ? Are they leading people closer to Christ? Are they helping people by their teaching? There is some... are they actually adhering to the core of the gospel truths? We find some of those truths in 1 John chapter 4. And I want you to look deeply into those, 1 John chapter 4, because you'll see how those how that person conducts themselves if they are actually a true teacher. And then you'll also see the fruit of their influence. You'll start seeing how they're affecting their followers, the lives of their followers. Is there an example of this? Is there a moral decay or a dependence on this specific teacher? A great example of this, being from Texas, one of the first things I can remember growing up, one of the major news segments I can remember is the Siege of Waco. Are they dependent on their teacher? David Koresh was... started off as with a really and truly, it was a Bible teaching session, and he converted that thing quickly off the deep end. So is there a dependence? Is there a moral decay? Are they becoming something that does not reflect what the gospel shows? And if they continue to follow this false prophet or false teacher, this leads to death and destruction in different forms. It can be complete ruins. It can be withdrawing from family, becoming a completely different person than what they should be according to the gospel, according to God's law. And it can have long-term effects on individuals, and not only individuals, but also congregations. So how do we, as a church, get through this? How do we, as a church, combat this? The first thing is we need to make sure that we're vigilant with how and who we conduct ourselves with. Make sure you take seriously your walk of how you, of who you learn under at all times. And just make sure you're vigilant and pay attention to what they're actually saying. I want you to be discerning, not to be swayed outwardly by appearances or charisma of the person that you're following. And I need you to make sure, first point and most, is that you're taking your walk with God in a serious manner. And what I mean by that, are you actually applying what you're learning in the Bible to your everyday lives? Or are you just going through with what your Bible study says at that point in time, and then closing your book, closing your Bible, and putting it back on the shelf? Are you actually applying the scriptures to your life? Something that Fred said in Sunday school, really, you stole my thunder, Fred, but I appreciate you how you did that, was Fred talked about how, are you really applying, are you really displaying the gospel in your life? Or are you just saying the words to make people's ears feel better about the situation and turn away and not acting and actually applying what you're teaching other people through the gospel? Because it's so easy to do. I've witnessed it. I've done it. But be honest with you guys. When I was a baby Christian, you know, on going to church as a teenager, and You know, on Wednesdays and Sundays, I was there at church and saying, oh, praise God. And on Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday, I was living like I don't even know. Living completely different. Saying something completely different. But if you looked at me on Wednesdays and Sundays, you'd say, oh, he's a good Christian boy. But then on the other days, I was raised, looking like I was raised out, like a bat out of hell kind of thing. It's our responsibility as a church to confront false teachings within the church community. That's one thing that I really appreciate and really like that you see a lot of pastors do, is they will confront the false teachings of different false prophets. Because it's, in all honesty, it takes a lot of courage to do that also, because it's a lot easier just to keep your mouth shut and just keep on going with your lives. But the problem that does is it hurts the rest of the flock. There's people being misled. So us as a church must address or confront the false teachings within our communities. And we also need to have a call of action. We need to make sure that we are actively engaging other Christians in their own spiritual practices. Meaning, we need to challenge each other. Are we actually doing our daily devotion, our daily Bible study, our daily time with God, our walk with God, if you will? Or are we just saying that we are? We need to make sure we're actually following through our spiritual practices. And then also make sure that we are applying those practices or spiritual time with God to our own lives. And then we need to do one other thing. We need to make sure that we offer people an opportunity to repent. To repent from their ways that they were going. Repentance is a very important thing. Again, we were talking in Sunday school, and again, Fred said this, of how repentance, I'm stealing you. Fred, you said earlier that you preached. You sure did back there, bud. I appreciate you. Of how repentance is a continual action, of how it should be continually happening. Because there's going to be times in our lives to where we do screw up. We do make mistakes. And asking for that forgiveness is a powerful thing. Because not only does it bring you closer to a relationship with God, but it makes you depend on God even more. To where you are actually applying that to yourself and saying, God, I know I screwed up. God, I know that this is a learning opportunity for me. God, help me apply that to my life. Because the great thing about God is, until our dying breath, He gives us an opportunity to continue to turn towards Him for our strength and for the ability for us to learn from Him. It's never too late for people until God calls them home. It's an amazing thing to really think about how God uses not only people sometimes, but circumstances to make you feel called out in different avenues of your life. It's always God trying to get, it feels like oftentimes God is just trying to get our attention to where He's saying, pay attention to what I'm trying to tell you, son or daughter. Follow my example. It's not easy to do at times. But that repentance is such an important thing to have. And that repentance is such an amazing gift to have. Knowing that you can never go too far for God to call you back. you can never go too far for God to continue to use you in an amazing way. It reminds me of where Paul's giving his, what I call his resume in the book of Acts, of where he is listing off, I was a Pharisee, I was circumcised on the eighth day, I was, he gives a whole big long list, I learned underneath the person of this guy, and just giving his resume of who he is. And he used to go around and attempt to kill other Christians because he wasn't a Christian at the time. And he calls himself the chief of sinners. And that same person, God got a hold of their life on the road to Damascus, and they were completely different. So different that they actually wrote nearly half of our New Testament. It's an amazing thing to see and witness when God finally gets a hold of someone's life of how they can truly be a completely different creature. And that should help remind us of how good our God truly is, because he doesn't give up on us. When I was 16 years old, I felt God call me into the ministry. And it scared the bejesus out of me. You guys know who I am. You guys know that I'm more comfortable back there where Josh is at than where I am right now. I'm not comfortable doing this, but this is what God has called me to do. And he's allowed me to do. But if I had it my way, I'd be back there. And so I remember running away from God because it scared the daylights out of me. But God called me back again. And God said, I have something bigger and better for you than you can even imagine. And that's the same thing that God offers each and every one of us. No, I'm not saying God's going to call you into the ministry or anything like that. But God's calling you into a Christian life. God is calling you to act in a certain way, to carry yourself in a certain way. And God hasn't given up on us, on any of us. He's calling out to us. And that's one thing that I thank God for on a daily basis, is that he is calling to each of us in our own different way. And we just have to listen to him, follow him, and he'll guide us that way. Father, I thank you for that. I thank you, God, for the guidance that you give. Even when we don't realize what you're doing in our lives. But Father, I just pray right now, God. I pray for each individual person in here, God, if there's something that's holding them back, Father, I pray right now that you just allow them to turn that over to you and to repent. And God, that's the same thing I pray for any false prophet, false teacher, God, that they repent from their ways and that they come to you, Father, and that they learn from you. Father, I thank you for today. I thank you for this day that you have made. I thank you, Father, for each person that's in here. We love you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Before we sing our last